We kick off hour number two. We will get to the Tennessee practice report from yesterday, first practice after the scrimmage and the off day. But first, I want to get to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, it's brought to you by Big Orange Phillies. Philly is actually up first. What's
wow.
up, Phil?
Wow.
You're on three and out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philly.
I was called a Finn Nate.
Thanks, Phil.
Well, I heard yesterday at 3 o'clock that Nate and myself are two of the most negative people on the radio.
I did hear that.
I mean, that's ridiculous. We're just telling them. We're a realist. We're not dumb sheep.
I believe the verbiage was, it comes very easy to Nate.
Well, yeah. Is this about Rick Barnes specifically or just in general? Like, just about everything?
Well,
mostly
Nate,
basketball.
Nate's a basketball expert, but he's pretty straight on football, too.
I think the team's going to – I predicted the team's going to go 8-4, and somehow that makes me negative, Philly.
Well, yeah. That's what I predicted, 8-4.
I don't think that's negative.
That's over what Vegas sets the over-under at, and we're negative. Imagine thinking that.
Well, yeah, they could go 9-3, but they could go 7-5. The Florida and Pittsburgh games are the key of the season. Mm-hmm. You have to win those games if you want to have a good season. Is that simple?
It really
no
is.
Excuses.
Yeah, I mean, you could theoretically, I guess, lose one and it be your one, like, just, yep, I want that one back, but and play great the rest of the way, but it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. Unless Pitt is just, like, if the Pitt quarterback this year plays out of his mind all season and they're just ACC champs again and really, really
yeah.
good,
yeah, yeah,
and that's the one you lose and it's pretty close, and then you roll Florida, then I guess yeah. I could see that scenario playing out where Tennessee's still really good, but they lose a close game on the road at Pitt, and you still kind of dominate everybody in the East except for Georgia. Sure.
Well, we got to start doing something. I mean, we just make excuses every year in football, and then basketball, we have good years up until we get in the tournament here lately. It's just Rick Barnes, he's kind of like the Gundy guy at Oklahoma State in football. They're very similar, the type programs they have. They win a great regular season, but they kind of flame out, you know, postseason.
Yeah, I mean, he called it phase two. Like, he knows he's got better players now. He's been getting top 100 players. That's great. It's just time to win with them at the end of the year. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to have high expectations in your program. It means you've done something right with getting it to that level.
Now, this athletic director here in a few years is going to have to make a coaching change because Rick Barnes won't be here. He'll be retired. And it'd be interesting to see what Danny White does, a basketball hire. It'll all be an attractive job to get somebody to keep the thing going or enhance it.
I would think so, and I mean, Danny White's done a good job hiring coaches everywhere he's been, but I just with what we've seen from Rick Barnes, I you know, obviously with Pearl it ended in this kind of train wreck. Pretty much same thing with Konzo, and Donnie Tindall was a mess. I don't see the end coming as, I mean, you know, we might have a down year and he retires, but I still think the program is going to be held in high regard across the country, and obviously, Tennessee has shown they will pay a basketball coach top five money. I mean, I'd say all but a handful of coaches across the country would be off the table. And surely you can get, I mean, you should be able to go out and get easily a top 10 coach. Now, the question is, does Danny do that or does he go and try to find, you know, an up and comer? Well, yeah. I mean, but he found Nate Oates. Nate Oates is at Alabama now, doing a great job.
Yeah, he did. I'll give him credit for that. But one thing that does concern me, though, is they're trying to price average Tennessee football fans and basketball fans out of going these ball games. And I don't know, is this an intentional thing to do?
I mean, I think it's just they're just trying to make more money. I think they realize right now the products across the board are good, and then the kind of hype around the games and around the teams is high. So they're trying to just, you know, collect every dollar they can.
How much money do you need? Or getting all this TV money?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I get it. Like, everything's kind of going up right now, but it seems like there should be a way to do it for both.
Yeah. Well, y'all talking, getting ready to talk football. Why are we having so many injuries? Are they doing too much hitting, or what's going on over there?
So far, it seems like it's guys tweaking an ankle or a hamstring. I mean, we haven't had anything, knock on wood, significant to this point. So I don't think any of them are, you know, crazy injuries. You're just, I mean, it's football. I think guys are just getting, you know, they're rolling an ankle here and there. Yeah, but it seems like, I mean, they got a bunch of guys back yesterday. I read it appears that Byron Young has been put in bubble wrap for the remainder of the preseason just because he's as good as advertised and they don't want to risk it with him. So I'm pretty sure Heupel said the second scrimmage was going to determine a lot, and my guess is they start to lift off now from, you know, hitting as much, probably a lot more drill work, and, you know, thud when they go to 11-on-11 type stuff. They've also implemented the basically no video clause at practice as they start to do more install and game prep.
Well, 2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
That's right. We're 15 days away, Philly.
Wow.
It's hard to believe in it. Cheers.
I'm ready for it. And then you get, next weekend, you got, you know, week zero games, so it'll be here before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all going to have some kind of a get-together for some of these games or the out-of-town games or something?
I think there's some stuff in the works.
Oh, really? Oh.
I think so.
Wow, look at that. Mm-hmm. Breaking news.
Have a good way to get a nice good way to get a few beverages down, you know?
There you go. Yep. There you go. See you, Philly. Have a good one.
From Philly on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines to Westchester. What's up, Westchester? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. First things first. Nate, are you okay? You sound a little under the weather.
Oh, you know, stuff's going around. I'm good. Good to go.
He's good. He's toughing it out.
I was worried about him. I want to make sure he can make it a whole week, you know.
Thanks, Westchester. I really appreciate your concern.
Who, y'all know? I mean, y'all, between you and Russell, what's the official count out? Who has missed more time? Are y'all keeping track of this? All right. I'll be nice. Guys, I don't want to dwell on the Barnes thing again. I know we're moving on to football, but I just want to remind you yet again that he brought this on himself. If he doesn't pull that UCLA crap and demand a higher salary, then we're going to be a little more lenient. But when you're demanding $5 million, you dang sure better make it out of the first weekend. And that's on him. Is that fair?
It's definitely fair on some level. I'm sure people disagree on the level of, I don't know if criticism's the right word, but the level of Heat not making it.
I mean, Calipari didn't make it out of the first day. He makes more than Rick Barnes. Like, happens. It happens sometimes.
He's made that money for a lot longer than Rick has. Rick pretty much demanded it, and he hasn't lived up to it.
Is that true that he demanded that? I never heard that. I never heard he said.
Well, the situation demanded it at minimum. Maybe. So, I mean, he said he said it was gone. You know, UCLA.
He didn't go to UCLA. So obviously, he, you know, if he wanted that job, he would have taken it. So,
well, I thought he said it was because they wouldn't pay his buyout. Yeah.
I don't know, but if he's such a good coach, why wouldn't they pay his buyout? Guys, let's talk a little. Go ahead.
I thought there was like a, I don't know if it's California state law or basically like UCLA just refuses to do that, but it was something like that. It was messy.
Yeah. But yet we still had to pay them that full salary they were going to almost not give them. That's all right. All right, let's move on to football. Guys, we're gonna be great this year. All right, our defense is going to be solid. They've improved a lot. Our ends and our linebackers specifically have improved on spying on the quarterback and eliminating that quarterback scramble, right? Like, that's what we've worked on all summer, and that's what we're working on now. And we got that down pat. We don't have anything to worry about, right?
Picking up your sarcasm there, Westchester.
Well, I mean, you know, if we're gonna win this 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games, we dang sure better have that fixed, right?
Well, John Mitchell's running with the ones. Back healthy.
What's your, have you made your official prediction, Westchester? Because I've I feel like I've heard a little more. Well, I don't know if sober is the right word, but like you're a little more grounded on your prediction.
I've actually slid back to 6-6 with one road win at Candy.
Okay, 6-6
And why is that? Why?
Well, I mean, you have to understand that part of this boils down to Heupel's going to, whenever he gets out of here, or we fire him, or he, you know, somebody else is dumb enough to hire him, whatever, he's going to have a career, a Tennessee record against first-year coaches below 500. I mean, he's we're going to lose this Florida game. We're going to lose this Pittsburgh game. I still think we'll find a way to beat Kentucky because, I mean, they are just Kentucky, but we're not going to win. We're not going to win against Beamer at South Carolina. I mean, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly. Like our defense can't keep up with our offense. We're the exact opposite of what we had with Skolcan. Skolcan wanted to be all defense and no offense, and now we want to be all offense and no defense. Maybe the next guy will have something called balance and be good on both sides of the ball, but I mean, I don't think what I'm saying is, I mean, it may be a little extreme, but I don't think it's too far off base. I think the criticisms are solid.
How do we not beat South Carolina?
Just on the road.
Oh, okay.
What's Heupel's best road win so far?
Kentucky.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
I mean, last year's Kentucky team's going to be better than this year's South Carolina team is.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, the best case scenario is that we somehow beat Craftsburg and somehow beat Florida, but then will Tennessee away a game we shouldn't to either Kentucky or South Carolina? I mean, Missouri and Candy are gimme conference wins, and beyond that, I haven't seen a product on the field to make me believe that that we can count on anything more. We're gonna go 10-2. We're just gonna lose to Georgia and Alabama. Come on, really? 8 wins is possible. 8 wins is very possible, but 6 is just as likely. Like we don't have any reason to believe that our defense is any more solid, do we?
Well, Mitchell's healthy at linebacker. Barron and Young have looked pretty good on the defensive line. You got more depth in the secondary this year. Kamal Haddon, been hearing great things about him. So I don't think you're going to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, you won more than six games last year with the same guys, Westchester. So saying
everybody's good at practice, but then we actually have to play a game. And we haven't proven that our defense can make it through a whole season at this tempo. So, I don't know. I won't get on here and just sit here and say the same thing for hours. So I'm going to get out of the way. But I really wanted to call yesterday, but I respect the optimism Tuesday thing. So I got to wait till Wednesdays. So that's fine.
Thanks for the
guys,
call.
Hang in there. Good luck making the next 2 weeks there. Nate, I hope you can find it in you to tough it out for two more or another week and a half.
I'll do my best, Westchester.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Love you. Oh, that was a lovely call.
We'll hit a break.
At least he didn't do it yesterday. He said he respects optimism Tuesday.
There's no way the defense doesn't get better this year.
I could see losing a game that we expect to win. I don't think all of them. And I don't think the most likely outcome is that you are worse just because.
I mean, basically they were going to get killed by South Carolina.
I mean, like.
Yeah, how are they getting so much better, but we can't?
Like, you could have beat Pitt and Ole Miss last year, and those were teams that ended up being, you know, the top. So,
yeah.
You don't have to be much better than last year to be 8-4. And that's what he's saying is the ceiling. So, I don't know. I don't get the logic, but I think there's a little of keeping the cup on mindset there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with more. Get right back to the phone line. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Hour two continues, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. We're members here on 3 and Out. You should be as well. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out.
Cancel the season.
I mean, 6-6 is just what's going to happen. There's no evidence that we can do any better than that, except that we went 7-5 last year. My case rest.
Could have gone 9-3.
Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We got Roberto up next. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and Out.
Oh, so depressed, guys. We've been condemned to a 6-6 season.
Hello, Music City Bowl.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yep, here we go again.
I've seen nothing to prove that we can win more than 6 games. 6-6 is as likely as 8-4. Exact quote. We have no defense. We haven't proven anything on defense. They've been here 13 games! How the hell are you going to prove anything on defense in 13 games with somebody else's players?
Nobody's improved. They've all gotten worse, Roberto.
Massive opponent of Westchester. Today was maybe his worst call ever.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
I love the guy.
Are we saying this might be all-time bad for Westchester? It's a long list.
That's an all-time bad take. Just for one instant, for one thing, Rodney Garner's had his defensive line for more than 4.5 months.
They're going to get tired.
We've only got two potential all-SEC, all-American type players on the defensive line. I just don't. We've only got half a linebacker because he's really a running back playing linebacker. Come on, dude. I'm a huge Westchester guy. He's a friend. I like him. But come on. You've got to be better than that.
I am too, Roberto. And here's what's happening. We're getting close to the season. And this is the way the Vol fan mind works, right? Before fall camp, excited, 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 excited. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then the season gets closer. And you realize you're excited for the season. Well, that's been bad lately because then you're always disappointed during the season. So what do? You lower expectations. You start to talk yourself into maybe we can't win that game or that game or that game or that game or that game. Now we're worse than we were last year. Not exactly sure, but we're worse. And, like you said, bracing for impact.
Yeah, and that's okay. I get it. You got to guard your heart, man. They tell you that in kindergarten. Kindergarten, Sunday school. Guard your heart.
Guard your heart.
I get it. I get it. But guarding my heart right now is 7-5 at the base. Because that's what we did last year with what I would argue is not as good a player. Matthew Butler feels like a loss. Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
We've got to replace him. Alante Taylor feels like a loss. He played great last year. Right? But then again, he didn't play in the bowl game. So are we 8-4 or 8-5 last year if he plays in the bowl game? I don't know. Maybe. But, how can you possibly think that we're not going to improve on defense? Just the logic of that defies me. One full offseason in the system. One full offseason of coaching. One full offseason of workouts. There's nothing logical that says we won't be better on defense. Unless we lost, I don't know. Would those two guys constitute a win to you? Matthew Butler and Alante Taylor?
Yeah.
They would?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think Alante Taylor was really good, and so was Matthew Butler. I also think
you're going to put another guy in there. I'll get you. So it's just the difference you're talking
about.
Well,
that's the thing. Everyone kind of... If you go off the Purdue game and you say, oh, man, if we can't be better than that, then I don't know. But I think we can be better than that. I think those players can improve. They're a lot deeper. You've helped yourself with transfers. A lot of guys who were we had some guys banged up for that game that are back now full strength.
There you go.
You lost Taylor, but, Turnage was banged up. I don't even know if he played. If he did, he was limited. Hadn't played. He's back healthy now. You got your safeties back. I don't know if our safeties were really good in that game, but surely they're better now. I feel like Juwan Mitchell being healthy is going to be a really big deal. It sounds like he looks like what you expected when you got him out of Texas and he was their leading tackler.
Yeah, I'll wait and see on him. I will play the Westchester card on that guy, because even when I saw him last year, unless he was just very unhealthy to start the season, I was just kind of like, okay, meh. I mean, do you realize he had one play in the games that he played in? Like, legitimately one play. It was a pass breakup against Pittsburgh over the middle, because I remember looking at my friend and going, oh, that's the first play he's made.
Yeah, he was really bad. It's like he wasn't even out there against Bowling Green.
Yeah, it was very strange. And it may be that he was hurt. We don't know.
Right.
Our kicking game is going to be as good. I mean, we return our entire kicking game. I don't think you could say, I'm literally looking for losses. I'm okay with guarding your heart, but I just don't see it. And our schedule's easier than it was last year. People don't want to hear that, but that's true. It is true. Okay, we play preseason, we play four ranked teams this year. Last year, I believe it was six. Okay? The four ranked teams are Alabama and Georgia, obviously. Do you know who the other two are? I mean, you guys know.
Pitt and Kentucky
and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pitt, that may be a loss. I bought tickets yesterday. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Steel City.
No matter what happens, we're going to have fun. If you guys have never been to Pittsburgh, highly recommend. All-time American city. It's a great place to just hang out and be. And we're going to beat Kentucky because we always beat Kentucky. And we're favored in nine. Right now, Vegas line, we're favored in 9 of our 12 games. You guys know that, right?
Yeah. I saw it could be as many as 10 by the time the actual game rolls around.
I don't think we'll be favored against LSU because I think their quarterback, the transfer from Arizona, is Daniel, whatever his name is.
Jaden Daniel.
Thank you. I think he's going to be better than advertised. Here's a hot take. He'll be better than Spencer Rattler.
Ooh.
Because South Carolina, you will never convince me that Shane Beamer is going to amount to a hill of beans down there. That guy is clown show. And anybody who says, well, he recruited Spencer Rattler, and that's what Nate said. I'm not dissing Nate at all. I'm just saying that's what Nate said yesterday. I just can't get behind that. He recruited Spencer Rattler while he was coaching tight ends. Like, so what? I just don't see it. Spencer Rattler, he played in a lesser-than conference and got jumped by a guy who then transferred to another school. I think Tennessee is in for a decent year. I think we should be very, very pleased with 8-4 and going to a better bowl. Florida Bowl would be nice. I think you guys would agree with that. Sure. And if that's a Gardner Hearts 8-4 in a Florida Bowl, I think that's a good day. Let's go out. Let's beat Florida. And I have one question for you guys, and I'm being sincere. I'll hang up and listen, okay? Would you take 3-1 in September if it meant we get to blow the doors off Florida? See ya.
So basically you're losing the Pit to destroy Florida?
Take it or roll the dice?
Roll the dice, I think.
We'll chew on that.
Think about that. We'll come back with more 3 and Out next.
It just feels good to talk college football, like with it actually, you know, about to happen. LSU quarterback competition is Nussmeier, Howard, Daniels. The guy that Roberto mentioned, Jaden Daniels, it seemed like he was kind of the forgotten guy there for a while, and then all of a sudden Miles Brennan leaves, and now some of the articles I'm looking up are like, you know, it'd make the most sense to play Jaden Daniels. He can run around a little bit, you know. It seems like the more mobile the quarterback is, the better off you are if you're a rebuilding team, like first-year coach.
Well, that gives me a lot of confidence in the season.
See, if Westchester had said, hey, I'm kind of afraid we might only go 6-6. Here's why. We might be better than Florida at most positions even, but Anthony Richardson could be the X factor, and they win a crazy game where they just put it all on his shoulders. What if the same thing happens with Jaden Daniels at LSU? You know, and then I think we're going to lose one we probably shouldn't here. There, like, but to just say there's no evidence we're going to win more than 6 games when we won 7 last year, I don't understand that argument. But anyway, it's fine. Like,
like I said, I think that's just masking some worry. So, but anyway, it's Jaden Daniels, Nussmeier, and Howard. I don't know. That's a true freshman, I guess. Seems like it's going to be Nussmeier, Daniels. But we'll see. And it could be a different guy by the time we play him when the season started.
So you taking a loss to Pitt to beat Florida by 30?
No, that was the question, wasn't it?
Would you lock it in? I don't think so. I would either.
I mean, because I would rather beat both by 3 points each than lose to Pitt and beat Florida by 50.
I would too.
Because a close win over Florida is still going to kind of rip their heart out.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people are saying take it. Captain Touchback says take it. It's a conference win. It's a loss on the road early to the ACC champs.
I see that too.
But I guess it's
a tough question.
Well, my problem is I thought we should have beat Pitt last year when they were ACC champs and they had Kenny Pickett. I thought we should have won that game. I still think we should have won that game. In fact, you could argue that if they don't blow that call on the Hendon Hooker scramble, that we might win that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we were good enough to beat them last year. Do we think they're going to be better this year? I don't know. Kind of depends on Keaton Slovis. But I do think we're going to be better. They don't have a bunch of receivers that scare me. That seems to be where we might be weakest.
Mm-hmm.
Florida doesn't have a very strong receiver core. Sounds like they've got some pretty good dudes. I don't know if they have a playmaker. I'm sure one will emerge in the season. Obviously, LSU has Kayshon Boutte, who I think is probably the best receiver in the league. But no, I think I'm going to take my chances. I think I would almost rather have the opposite, honestly. I'd rather go to Pitt and win and then lose to Florida, just maybe because I'm used to it. Weird, right?
I did not expect you to say that.
But hear me say, I still think we can beat Florida. Obviously, I'll want to watch them against Utah and Kentucky. But like Tennessee losing to Florida, I'm kind of used. I want the revenge against Pitt.
Because you want revenge against Florida for the last, gosh,
I mean, yeah,
17 years?
Yes, I want. I'm just saying, us going to Pitt and beating Pitt, I mean, that's a bigger win. That's a ranked road win, assuming they don't, you know, fall all over themselves against West Virginia. Like, that's a big win. I guarantee that win and take my chances against Florida. I don't want to lose to Pitt.
If you lose to Florida, though, you're pretty much guaranteeing that Kentucky finishes second in the East above you.
Not necessarily. Florida. What if Florida beats Kentucky? What if Florida beats Kentucky, beats you, you beat Kentucky, Georgia beats Florida, and South Carolina beats Florida?
If you drop one to Florida, you're having three conference losses at best.
Okay, so maybe 9-3.
And then you can't feel confident going into the Death Valley with a Florida loss at home. So there's probably four losses.
I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I don't want to go 1-1 to start the season. Like at least get me to game four undefeated. It's more fun.
See, I would take a guaranteed Pitt win and roll the dice with Florida because I think you're going to beat Florida anyways.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you there.
I know I said I'd rather lose to Florida, but I'd rather take the Pitt win and just go into Florida and play them straight up because I do think we're. I don't think this game is going to be a blowout. I mean, we may win by a touchdown or 14 points, but I don't think we're going to just come out there and hang 50 and they score, 17-20. Maybe. I mean, that'd be cool. That'd be great. Still don't get more Westchester's things. 6-6. JT says, what if Florida is just good and they win the East? Well, build the statue of old Billy Napp. And then he'll, probably win it again next year and then get fired in year three when they go 4-8.
Or 10-2, either way.
Right, yeah. Not good enough. Can't get over the hump. I mean, if you're going to get him, this is the year. Of course, how many times have we said that? Sorry.
Yeah, it's not been good. It does line up, though. Like, this is what, I mean, you just have to.
Have to what?
You have to beat Florida.
Like I said, they will definitely come in here tested. And so will we. I mean, I think Pitt's good. I do think Pitt might be a tad overrated because of what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously their defensive line's really good. Their defense as a whole is going to be pretty good. We also had the opportunity to score about 70 points on that same defense last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a road game. I believe... Is that artificial turf?
No.
No. Okay. It doesn't really matter. I was just curious. I mean, they got a new quarterback. They're going to... I mean, they'll have to show some stuff in week one against West Virginia, I assume. I mean, Pitt could lose to West Virginia. They're only favored by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. They're the quote-unquote 16th, 17th ranked team. To only be favored by West Virginia by 7, it seems a little... It's almost as if Vegas is saying, hey, maybe these guys aren't as good. Adam McClintock did have Pitt on their overrated list.
Yeah.
Had Tennessee on the underrated list, according to the AP Top 25. But I think, and I know I keep leaning on this, there's just a lot of unknowns about our first three big games. Like, how good is Slovis? No idea. Anthony Richardson, we know he can run. Can he beat you from the pocket? And what does everything else for Florida look like? Then you go to LSU. Who's their quarterback? First year under Brian Kelly. I don't think they'll be a dumb football team, but what is their depth like? You know, they've got three, I don't want to say huge games, but three big games. They get Florida State, Mississippi State, and then they get Auburn the week before you. You're coming off a bye week. That sets up pretty good, assuming you've taken care of business to that point. And I think if Tennessee's 4-0, they're going to be playing with a lot of confidence in Baton Rouge.
You won't be able to control this place. We're 4-0.
I would love to try, Nate. I would love to try and control this place, mm-hmm. this show, our call. I would love to try to be 4-0 and have to deal with the mayhem.
Be a nice problem to have.
Yes. Yes, it would.
I feel like with the transfer portal, there's more unknowns just across the board in general, too.
Oh, I agree.
You know, that's part of the LSU's got new coach, may be starting to transfer quarterback. You know, Florida new coach. They got some of their best players are apparently just transfers he brought up with him from his other school.
Right. And I'm not saying those aren't good players, but how good are they compared to...
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, SEC guys.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you look at every team on the schedule, I mean, really with the exception of Alabama, has some major question marks.
Well,
I mean, every team that we play probably lost more than we did.
Like, Georgia has question marks, but you at least...
Yeah, but you know their overall talent's really good.
We kind of know from past evidence about that they're not going to be as good on defense, probably about the same on offense.
Right.
And we can kind of gauge that. Some of these teams, like, you have no clue. I mean, like, half of South Carolina's offense is going to be transfers.
Right.
Like, half, like, maybe if there's five eligible six out of the six eligible players that can carry the football, you know, five of them are going to be transfers. Like, it's mm-hmm. just no way to know. That could be a train wreck.
Yeah, and Rattler. I mean,
who knows?
Do we get... I mean, the Big 12's not exactly...
And the Pitt, too, their quarterback.
Sure, I'm just saying, like, the Big 12, not exactly known for great defense. I mean, would Tennessee's defense last year be, like, middle of the pack in the Big 12? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we kind of... I mean, Tennessee's kind of structured like a Big 12 team now.
A little bit.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Final segment, hour number two, next. Final segment, hour number two, Three and Out Wednesday edition of the program.
Westchester is fired back.
Oh, okay.
told me to listen to myself. We should have beat Pitt last year. Probably so, but do you really think by some magic that the universe is going to have all things go our way this year? Bad calls, bad bounces, heartbreaking losses. That's the Big Orange way.
Well, that's good. He's just admitting that he just expects things to not go our way. So at least that's some rationale on why he just feels like you're going to lose some games you
should
win.
The fact that I think we should have beat Pitt last year and got some bad calls, bad bounces, so on and so forth is why I'm not immediately chalking it up as a loss this year.
Yeah, you can see it both ways. It does seem like sometimes that crap just goes against us. Purdue, Ole Miss, Pitt.
Yeah. I feel like we had a 10 years worth of bad calls and bad luck.
I mean, hell, even a Florida game where we have a receiver just running wide open, he just drops
twice,
the football.
Twice he did that.
What are we doing? We never did get into the practice report, let everybody know the good news. And
I had just pulled it up, Nate. I'm glad you brought that up. All right. Let's dig.
Well, good news, cornerback Kamal Haddon back. Junkyard Dog Elijah Simmons back. So that's great. You mentioned the Byron Young news that he's back as well, because he did not go full bore in the scrimmage.
Light workload. Not that he was hurt.
He's making sure to
keep him healthy.
You know.
Yeah.
Going easy. The bad news: Jimmy Calloway and Skrull White still not practicing. Jalen Wright working on the side and shells. Lin J. Dixon did not practice.
Jerry Mack said that Lin J. is going to be fine. They expect him back today.
Okay.
Just tweak the ankle a little bit.
All right. I know people are worried about depth at running back, especially when guys are getting hurt or already hurt before the season.
Yeah.
Non-contact jersey guys: D. Williams, Shane LaBruza, Solon Page, and Jackson Hanna. Also, Calloway did go through stretching, I guess, wasn't in uniform, so I don't know what that means.
Bubble wrap. Protecting him. Saving him for Pitt when he had the touchdown last year. He likes playing against those guys.
Okay.
Just a hunch.
I don't know. If it doesn't feel like we're that hurt, really. Just a little beat up, but should be good to go. Should be pretty... Somebody should build a scale for like how injured college, or you could do it for college and NFL teams. NFL would be really easy because you get the injury reports and everything. But you kind of build a scale for every team. So like, let's say, all right, Tennessee travels down to LSU week, whatever that is, 6 of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, LSU has 3 guys out and 2 guys that are going to play hurt. They're average level injured compared to all teams across the SEC at this point in the season. Tennessee has 2 guys out and 1 guy banged up. They're slightly better than average on the injury scale, you know, whatever. Or Texas, you know, is missing 8 guys in the opener. They are the most injured team in college football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that could really help fans, people like us that commentate on the sport and peer coaches kind of help grade teams' performance based on more than just your own kind of gut feeling as to whether a team's full strength or not. There's some crazy stat like teams that won the Super Bowl, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody did some charting like that where teams that won the Super Bowl in the NFL – the last X amount of time, you know, most of them were one of the healthiest teams in the league every time. Pretty,
I feel like that's true of teams that win the national championship too.
Yeah, I feel like Alabama last year was really beat up by the time they got all the way to the end.
They were. They got and they feel like the last 3 games of the regular season and the postseason, they had a top receiver go down each game.
When they lost, they lost guys in. Did they play Miami week 1?
Yes.
I think they got a bunch of guys hurt in that one, too, and they gradually came back during the year.
No, was
some of them.
Was it Will Anderson? Did he not get hurt? Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was – they. I feel like they lost a lot of linebackers last year.
But
there was a weird chop block early against one of their best linebackers, and he missed significant time. I don't even know if he played the rest of the year. He may have.
But with teams like more in the Tennessee tier, with rosters like this, you know, staying healthy is extremely important.
Health.
What do you think?
It matters.
What do you think the Ball State approach will be in terms of weighing reps, keeping guys healthy, but developing some experience with other guys, but also knowing it's only the first game, and you don't want to be like, well, this guy only played a few snaps because he's so good that, and we were up by so much, we saved him. Oh, but now he's still kind of finding his legs for the season during the Pitt game. There's a balance there, right?
Doesn't the Ball State game have to – I mean, ideally, don't you get up like 35 in the first 25 minutes of the game and then you're
– call the dogs off?
Well, or at least rest the
– I mean, I'm thinking 2.5 quarters.
You think so? I mean, yeah, I guess you don't want to pull them too early.
That's what I mean. Like, you wanted to be full bore by the Pitt game.
Yeah.
I think you want them to come out for the second half and have to start fast again. And then once you kind of assert that, yeah, we're gonna pull away by even more now in the second half, then you could kind of shut it down and get some young guys.
I think you probably limit the guys who have been banged up in fall camp. Right? I mean, the quicker you can get out guys like, and I realize Jalen Wright's a backup running back, but if you don't need him, I mean, I guess if just by playing they're risking, you know, more soreness on a tender ankle, or like Brew McCoy, I don't know, he tweaked something. If that's a hamstring, like, and if he's eligible, obviously. Yeah, I'm just, because you're going to have an extra couple days to prepare for Pitt. I think I'm just keeping guys, I mean, if they've been banged up at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is, I mean, you're favored by 32. Even if you don't cover, this should be a game where you can get a lot of the young guys reps. I mean, I want to see Dylan Sampson. He's apparently had a great camp. Want to see Jimmy Holiday, Jimmy Callaway, some of these younger receivers that we haven't seen so much. I'm sure Tillman's probably going to be able to get all he wants early. Even if they double cover him, like, you just lob it up there to him. Like, hopefully you don't see him in the second half. Unless, like you said, like come out and get one drive going and then pull him for the starters. But like, let's see how Milton does.
I'd like to see Taven Jackson get a little action.
I'll be interested to see what the plan is with him. I don't have anything against him getting action, but I do wonder if they – I mean, ideally you can play him in four games and still redshirt him would be my guess. Unless he said, hey, I don't want to do that, but you don't want to play him just to play him. But Ball State would be a game that you could see a Taven Jackson go out there. I mean, there's a chance that Ball State, I mean, they're really not very good. I mean, there's a chance that your first four drives take 4 minutes off the clock and you're up 28-0 with 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. I mean, it's possible. Now, we didn't do that at all against Bowling Green, but that's possible. And then maybe you start to treat the second quarter like you would normally the second half. You come out, throw up another touchdown, it's 35-0. Okay, let's put the young guys in. Let's keep working, you know, some young offensive linemen. Rotate all the guys in on the secondary. I mean, we'll just see.
Now, when we ultimately do see Joe Milton week one, I don't want to get to a point where he's just handing the ball off. I'd like to see him get some meaningful reps in there. Let him take some shots.
Well, and that'd be the good thing about getting him in the first half, only up, you know, 35-0. And that's why I think it is important for the first team to take care of business. I mean, if you go to halftime and it's 24-0, odds are you're not going to see Milton until late. And if he does get in, it's probably going to be a lot of handoff to make sure you win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the approach is. You know, Heupel didn't have that luxury too much last year. As you're trying to see what you have on the roster and all that stuff. It's a little different in year one. So now you're, you know, prepping to try and win games down the road a little bit more. You should know your personnel a little bit better and how they're going to react to a full season of work. We'll come back. Hour 3 of 3 and Out next.